I don't think there is going to be a fear of running out of ideas, actually, which I could not have said the same back in 2019.
Give yourself permission to keep learning about yourself. Don't hold yourself to a decision that you made before you even made your first podcast episode. If only we had these tips at the beginning. I mean, we still made it to 200 episodes, but when we were first starting, it would have been so cool to get to hear something like this.
Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we share the underrepresented perspectives that shape our lifelong journey of learning and unlearning. I am Tan.
And I'm Sophia. Thank you for joining us on our journey discovering the abundant possibilities of who we can choose to be. We release episodes every Sunday, and if you've been listening for a while, thank you so much for your support and for being with us on this journey.
Welcome to our 200th episode on Bamboo and Glass. So surreal. So we are in our fourth year of podcasting, and we've had the pleasure of connecting with podcasters and aspiring podcasters alike. And usually we get asked the same question over and over again. How do you keep up the consistency? So we aim to answer that question for you all, and it's a little podcasting 101 session in this episode today.
Yeah, so wherever you are in your podcasting or content creation journey, this is the episode for you. So thank you for being here. We will be specifically talking about our experience with podcasting, but we know that many of these tips are transferable to other mediums and forms of creation as well. All right, Tan. How does it feel to look back and realize that we've created 200 episodes? Okay, so just to give a little context, our first episode was published at the beginning of 2019. Our 100th episode was published at the end of 2020. So it took about 2 years for us to do 100 episodes. And now our 200th episode is September of 2022.
It's just more surreal the more you break that down, because 200 episodes means we've met up at least 200 times. That means we've had, oh, I don't know, like a lot of guests. I guess there was a good percentage of those that have guests. That means we've come up with 200 topics to talk about, which is insane, especially given the fact that we have never lived in the same city. We've never gone to the same school or worked the same job. And also just how many different series and niches and themes that we've been able to cover. It's just really incredible. And I can't imagine having done this with anyone else.
Yeah, same. I don't know if I've seen that many podcasts with 200 episodes. You know, most podcasts end after 7 episodes.
I know. This is your favorite stat to quote. Exactly. Knowing that stat, thinking back to 2019, or actually late 2018, when we had first brainstormed this idea of a podcast, could you have imagined amassing 200 episodes on a consistent schedule?
Yeah, I think I didn't even think to think about it.
How many episodes did you think we would get up to if you go back to 2018, Sophia?
I was just like, oh, I like talking to Tan and recording our conversations. We really had no grand plans for podcasting. This wasn't like, oh, we're content creators, this is a big deal. It was just like, no, we just like chatting with each other, so let's just see how it goes. Yeah, let's just press the record button and that's it. So I really had no expectations.
Yeah, I think for myself, I was just like, if we just do this for 6 months, which means like at the time we were doing bi-weekly episodes. So like if we do this for 6 months and we get 12 episodes, I'd be happy with that. That means we got 12. Like,
oh,
that
really?
Felt like
you had a concrete number.
I did, because I was like, the fact that we could even come up with 12 topics is like a really big deal. And also because like we've never tried to record anything. We kind of just jumped in like to the deep end of the pool.
Yeah, no, we practice. Did not like practice. The first episode y'all heard is the first episode we ever recorded.
It was over Facebook Messenger. I recorded on my phone. Your voice was coming out of the speaker. The audio quality was so bad. But, you know, there's a lot of tenderness to that memory because it kind of just reminds us how far we've come since then. And I mean, we still have so many ideas that keep popping up for us. Like even the episode that we got to record earlier today, which is the one about becoming friends with your siblings, that was such a new and fresh perspective on a topic of family that we've talked about many times on this podcast before. And so it just makes me excited because I don't think there is going to be a fear of running out of ideas, actually, which is, I could not have said the same back in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. We both grew up doing a lot of classical music, which is a different form of creating. And I also grew up singing, doing a cappella, doing art, but none of those really required a lot of originality. I would say for classical music, for example, it's like learning how to perfect a piece that someone else has already created. Yeah, this is like a whole another level of being creative for every episode. And then within each episode, being creative with the questions and leading the conversations in every moment. Like, there's just so much creativity involved in every episode and in every step of creating every episode.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Was there ever a time for you that made podcasting challenging?
I think the moments that felt frustrating or limiting came from moments when we had created rules for ourselves that we didn't really care about anymore. I don't think it was ever about the podcast episode creation, but sometimes it was about social media and what we posted and how much work went into our social media posts. Sometimes we were like, yeah, let's try to post 3 posts per episode. And at first, it was a really great idea. And we were really on board at the beginning and really inspired to do that. But as we did it more, we just ran into different challenges or frustrations, mm-hmm. and it just became less fun. And it was easy. We just talked about it. And
it was a drag. I hated it.
Yeah. So it wasn't a long-lived frustration. It was just like, oh, we're both kind of meh. And so we just changed it. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
The challenges with podcasting came more from things that complemented the podcast and never with the recordings and conversations themselves. We really wanted the growth of this podcast to mirror the growth that we wanted to experience or were experiencing as human beings, and also to reflect or to be flexible enough to accommodate the differences in our schedules and our current moment and what we have energy and interest in. Mm-hmm. We've really adapted this podcast based on our life circumstances, which have shifted a ton in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I would say for me, when I made that jump in from the tech industry into the film industry, I was a little bit worried. We had a common baseline of experiences that we got to talk about so much on the podcast. And I was a little worried that by me consciously choosing to change my career, how that would affect the different ideas or if we would run out of ideas. But I think what I got to learn about you was that you, while you don't watch a lot of shows or films or anything, you really appreciate the creative process that filmmakers and other creatives go through. And so if anything, even if we don't focus on the exact book or film or show, and we ended up finding a cool way to balance that workload too, you would be just as excited to talk to the creator behind the product and be able to come up with really great questions and be really engaged with that. And I thought that was really cool because I feel like usually the assumption is that you should be really into films and TV and also be really into this person's work, when actually maybe you can ask really interesting questions without knowing that much about that person.
You have to give yourself some credit too. You do a really great job thinking, how do I make this interesting and relatable, not just to me as a co-host, but to our listeners? And whenever we plan out an episode, at the beginning, we spend some time thinking about our intro, how do we introduce the episode, introduce the guest, and make it seem accessible and fun, regardless of your background, and make it seem connected to this broader journey and theme of discovering the abundant possibilities of who you can choose to be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, I appreciate that. Well, you know, again, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we get asked this question about consistency a lot. So I'm curious, what do you kind of feel like are common blockers to posting consistently?
One blocker is I just don't have enough ideas to keep up with my self-imposed schedule. And the second is I don't feel immediate gratification when I spend mm-hmm. so much time on something and put it out. How about you?
I think the ideas one is for sure a big factor. I think also perfectionism is a common blocker to posting consistently. Wanting to work on something and not being satisfied with where it's at before you put it out. Also, it feeling like a very lonesome process could be a blocker to posting consistently, because you're kind of just like in your own world. You don't really, and I think this relates back to immediate gratification, you don't really know how it's landing with people, and it's really vulnerable to put yourself out there if you're a solo creator and not immediately know from numbers or from comments or reactions how this episode is landing. And if you rely on that feedback a lot, then it could be really hard to muster up the courage or the momentum to post again.
Totally. Okay, so do we have some ideas for people who experience these blockers?
Yes, I'm so curious because when I have these conversations, I've never been in the same room as you. And so I'm really curious what you end up telling people too when they ask you how we post consistently. But I can go first. I want to start off with a quote. Our old good friend, James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits. This book has continuously come up in so many episodes, and I keep thinking about it constantly. He really doubles down on the differences between goals and systems. And so I'll read his quote, which says, "You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. Your goal is your desired outcome. Your system is the collection of daily habits that will get you there. This year, spend less time focusing on outcomes and more time focusing on the habits that precede the results. If you're a writer, your goal is to write a book. Your system is the writing schedule that you follow each week. Now for the really interesting question. If you completely ignored your goals, aka writing the book, and focused only on your system, would you still get results? For example, if you were a basketball coach and you ignored your goal to win a championship and focused only on what your team does at practice each day, would you still get results? I think you would. As an example, I never set a goal for my writing. I didn't measure my progress in relation to some benchmark. I never set a word count goal for any particular article. I never said, I want to write 2 books this year. What I did focus on was writing 1 article every Monday and Thursday. And after sticking to that schedule for 11 months, the result was 115,000 words. I focused on my system and the process of doing the work. In the end, I enjoyed the same or perhaps better results." I think this quote is just incredible because I would say that's the case for us too. We never set out this goal to reach 200 episodes. I mean, my benchmark was 12 episodes and we've surpassed that years ago. And I think by focusing on the process and the journey and making that as enjoyable as possible has really created this byproduct of amazing results that most people would have chosen to focus on instead.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Usually people start with the goal and they break it down, they make a work back schedule. If I think about our actual experience, it's exactly what James Clear mentioned in his book. So
yeah, like I just wonder, like even in the workplace, what the workplace culture would be like if it wasn't focused on OKRs, like objective key results. What if it was focused on a pattern that is established for the company or for the team? Like that could actually be really meaningful and can lead to those quote-unquote metrics that people find really flashy. But if we reverse engineered it, then we could spend our time focusing on the process rather than the results that we have to deliver on.
How long do you think it took for us to refine our process and get it to a place where it felt repeatable and easy? Or I guess another way to put it is, what aspects of our process do you think work really well for us?
I think all of it works for us.
Do you want to share what we do?
Okay, just the Cliff Notes version is we have an inventory of ideas that of episodes we do. We like set up a time to check in, whether it's after a recording or on a separate 30-minute call on a Saturday to discuss what episodes we should plan out. We always make sure to have backlog so we're not stressed about putting out the next episode. We designate one person basically to put together the outline. Pretty much it's volunteer basis. The person will probably be enthusiastic. They'll write the outline. We send it to the other person. If there's a guest involved, we make sure that there's a deadline for us to follow so that the guest gets the outline in a reasonable amount of time to take a look and let us know of any feedback. We then set out the recording schedule. We record, lay the doc to rest, and then we then move into post-production. One person basically is in charge of the whole post-production process, including up to social media posting and uploading it onto the website. And so they listen through, they make the fixes, they add the sound bites at the beginning, they just make sure everything sounds clean, they upload it, they write the description, put in all the necessary info, and they also create the image and Instagram assets, and we pretty much switch off doing that every other week. So this week I'm on duty, next week Sophia will be on duty, and so effectively we each get a week of a break. And we've also refined it so that we have put boundaries on when we schedule podcast episode recordings. And so that is also pretty flexible. We kind of allot weekends as well as weeknights as times that we can record. And so those constraints have also helped with our work-life balance, I guess you could say. I think that's a Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, it's funny hearing you recount our process because I'm comparing it to what I experience in my work at a tech company. and thinking about the similarities and differences. So one thing we do really well on this podcast is we have a very predictable and clear-cut delineation of responsibility. So it's never like, oh, I'm editing the first half of this episode and then I upload it and send it to you and wait for you to work on the second half or refine this or add that. No, no, no. Just one person takes care of the editing from beginning to end. And I think that cleanly delineating that responsibility is really helpful. So we're not waiting on each other.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the ways that this feels lightweight is that there is inherent trust in each other. Like, I don't feel the need to check up on you to make sure that the episode is going to be edited and done by a certain time.
Yeah. Another thing that works really well for us is that you and I are involved in every step of the creation journey. We just switch off who's the main point of contact for each episode. And I think that really worked well for us because it means that both of us have the same context for what it takes to create an episode. And we all have a lot of empathy for the hardest parts of making an episode.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Some other tips that I would love to give in terms of consistency is I really love the design thinking philosophy. Design thinking is something that kind of got birthed from the D School at Stanford University. And the people who started it are, you know, people who work at IDEO, who have been leading designers at some of the top companies. And I also love it because it just subverts so many paradigms of productivity and success that we are so used to seeing. And so there are four golden rules in design thinking. The first one is there's no such thing as a bad idea. The key to a good ideation session is that every person in the session feels comfortable to contribute with their ideas. The ideation session isn't a place for negative comments, for phrases that start with yes, but. Instead, adopt a yes, and. I see this happen in our personal podcasting journey as well, because there are so many times when we adopted a yes and mindset and one episode idea has turned into a full series that we've done. A topic idea has turned into a guest invite of someone that we would have never even dreamed of having on the podcast before. The most quote unquote out there idea that we've ever had is the dating show. You brought up this idea first, and I remember I was like, you know, we're not a dating podcast. Also, we're both in relationships, so how are we going to do this? And we just were open to it and decided to brainstorm unique ways we could incorporate some of the strengths that we want to highlight about ourselves and also highlight about our friends. And it just resulted into this really unique episode where we got to share some of the sweet, affirming things that our guest friends would say about them. And I think if anything, it was probably hopefully a very healing episode for them to be a part of, even if they are like marketing themselves to be put on dates and stuff. And so I thought that was a really cool idea that, you know, on the surface seems really quote unquote frivolous, seems very superficial, but actually was very meaningful in the end. You can see the second one.
The second golden rule of design thinking is to capture everything in the heat of the moment when you're inspired. Brilliant ideas come to mind, but they can also really easily get lost. So don't let them get lost. Write every idea down. And writing ideas down can potentialize the chance of these ideas coming back up. This is something that we definitely do. We meet every month or so and we discuss the new ideas that we have. But we also keep this idea document running asynchronously. So whenever we have an idea, you know, while we're driving or eating or having a fun outing with a friend, we can open the doc and add the idea so we don't forget it. And at the end of the calendar year, we also take a moment to reflect on new ideas and jot them all down.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, we used to have our personal conversations really overlap with a lot of podcast stuff that would happen. And I remember that would get lost really easily. And so a simple switch that we ended up doing was creating that brainstorm doc so that if we did have ideas, they don't necessarily have to be discussed in the heat of a conversation or in a messenger chat that can easily get lost in the history. We just go and put it into the doc, and we also set up that check-in time in order to revisit the doc and just see what there is that we could be talking about and finally get a chance to get a feeler out there for how people would feel about this podcast episode. The third golden rule is the hybrid brainstorming session. So research has shown that combining group brainstorming sessions results with individual brainstorming sessions results can help create more and better ideas. Again, a strong suit for us is that we're pretty reflective people already, so we naturally do a lot of self-brainstorming, which then provides synergy with these check-ins and collaborative sessions that we have at the end of the year. being able to come in with not necessarily an agenda, but kind of like a casual pitch to the other person of what episode ideas we have, and then coming up with like a list of guests that we might want to consider for the topic, it ends up feeding into this brainstorming synergy of potentially turning things into series or deciding, oh, maybe there's a better time to be doing this episode. Like maybe this could be done during like Mental Health Awareness Month if we're talking to like a psychologist or something. And so being able to come into a meeting kind of prepared with some of those ideas, having done some of those reflections on our own, and just getting to feed off of each other's energy and ideas is really, really helpful.
Yeah, that also goes back to the yes and.
Yeah, I'm sure we've been in like meetings where we haven't prepared anything and then we don't have anything to say or anything to contribute. And so when the spotlight comes on us, we're just kind of like, not really sure. And so just not necessarily prepared with writing, but prepared mentally to talk about some things is just sets you up for success for a really productive session together.
Yes, the last golden rule of design thinking is quantity over quality. Nothing cuts a creative flow as much as someone trying to think if an idea is good or if it's feasible. Selecting the right ideas is important, of course, but picking the best ideas shouldn't happen during the ideation process. Ideating is all about volume. The more, the merrier. I absolutely love this, and I think it really builds trust too. That process of throwing ideas out and giving the idea a chance to expand a little bit before you decide what to do with it, that really has helped us build trust and be more creative together. And even if we end up going with an idea, making the outline and recording it, we don't love it, we could always just not publish it. It's not a big deal. So there's really no expectation for perfection.
Yeah, I think with a creation career, a skill that we don't talk about a lot is the skill of discernment. I mean that as in not only discerning whether a topic is good to talk about, but also if it's a topic that you yourself would be really good at talking about and presenting to the world. Because we can all have, you know, really great ideas, but sometimes it's a matter of like, who is the best person or what is the best way to go about telling the story and telling this perspective? And I think you only know that by practicing and ideating and by trying a lot of things out. For example, I think we've done a couple of like history oriented podcast episodes, and I think we've kind of discovered that's not really our strong suit. Maybe that's something that we can do with a guest who is very knowledgeable and can speak for the most time on the episode, but it's not really a space for us to be asking those thought-provoking questions necessarily. Those maybe come at the end of the episode. And so that is something we wouldn't have known if we hadn't tried it. And on top of that, it also helps to alleviate the pressure and the sense of obligation that you have in terms of what ideas you should be putting out there, depending on what labels you've placed on yourself, on the type of creator you are. You know, I think something that's kind of annoying is that when you go through the workflow and onboarding process of creating an account, a lot of times I'll ask you for like the three categories that your podcast falls under. I'm sure they do that for YouTubers too. And I think that's kind of frustrating because how do you know what labels you're under when you haven't made anything before? I understand that works for like an algorithmic perspective, but don't let those, you know, labels that you've put on yourself be a continuous factor and deciding factor of the kind of content you end up choosing to do.
And that relates to this other idea that you need to niche down in order to go viral or be successful. And hold on, when you're starting a new creative project, let's not even think about going viral. Let's just talk about what it takes for this project to be sustainable and fun. And I think your priority at the beginning is to figure out what you actually enjoy doing. Initially, we had these vague ideas of, oh, we could talk about career, we could talk about friendships. And those were the big categories, but we never explicitly said, oh, Bamboo and Glass is all about or only about career and friendships. We kept it pretty wide open, and that has been our secret. That has given us the permission to explore all these different ideas, which has made this a much more sustainable project than if we were to only focus on career and stubbornly only do career just because we decided that at the beginning when we knew nothing about podcasting and our interests and what we would end up loving about podcasting. Give yourself permission to keep learning about yourself. Don't hold yourself to a decision that you made before you even made your first podcast episode.
Yeah, maybe an exercise that people can do is check out the creators that you really respect and admire and just kind of see as like the gold standard for yourself, especially if they're on platforms like TikTok or YouTube or podcasting, and they have a plethora of videos or content. I encourage you to scroll all the way down to their earliest videos, I bet you that content does not look like the content that they're making now. The difference between them and a lot of other creators is probably that they were open to changing and they were open to evolving and seeing what lands with people and what lands with themselves. I mean, like Emily Mariko is like probably the best example I can think of because I used to watch her YouTube videos actually, and before I was on TikTok, I used to watch her vlogs, and I found out that she actually was like this viral TikToker, and I looked at her content and I was like, this is nothing like what she made on YouTube. And I thought that was really cool that she was really open to trying out a new style of videos. Like she doesn't even talk in a lot of her videos. She just makes food. And so you just never know where things will land, but what matters is the act of being consistent in your creation process.
Yeah, totally. Especially when you're starting out, don't set yourself up for failure and discouragement by picking one thing and doubling down on it. Like, come on, give yourself a chance. Give your ideas a chance to chart a path for themselves. I'm really grateful that we both decided we want this podcast to adapt to our life circumstances and our interests at different points of life.
Yeah, I think there's this quote that's like, in order to be a professional of something, like you have to put in what, like 10,000 hours. And I don't necessarily think 10,000 hours applies across the board, but I think the point of it is that you need to put in time to know where you're going. Like just because you consume a lot of content doesn't mean you know how to create content. Yeah, you just have to create content. Like I bet you people our age, they've never created content like when they were in elementary school because it didn't exist back then. And so there is some beginner phase that does have to happen, and you have to get over that hump in order to make the best work that you possibly can. So the next theme, I think, is going back to systems. And so the tangible action item I would give people is think about what systemic changes you can make to your process to really decrease friction. And so I'll give you a couple examples of that and from our personal journey. Back in the day, we used to sometimes forget to schedule recording, or we had to do a lot of back and forth communication with the guest. Very inefficient, and it kind of slows down our hopes and hopes of like publishing an episode on a particular day. It may even warrant a lot of stress because we're needing to like check back in with the person to make sure that everything is getting scheduled as according to plan. And so we ended up deciding to take advantage of services like Calendly, just a link that's really easy to send over where it just automatically documents our availabilities and it's very easily customizable. And we found that with that experience, we could just send the link and we'll get a notification in our inbox that the person scheduled a recording. And that's made it really, really easy and also ensures that we don't have the risk of episodes being overlapping, because there used to be times when we would record two episodes in a day and we didn't want those episodes to overlap in recording, obviously. Another example is we used to spend a lot of time coming up with an intro and outro. Like sometimes we would like fumble over our words and all that stuff. And it's something that really establishes the tone at the beginning and at the end. And also there's some things that we always like to call out that were also easy to forget. So now we have a template Google Doc that we just hit make a copy, and it makes it really easy to remember those important statements to call out. And we always are able to diverge from the script if we want to, but at least it's there for us to look at. And then the third example is something we talked about earlier, which is we used to care about our feed having three posts each, and that took up a lot of creation time. And as I said, it was a drag. And so we've ended up deciding to loosen our constraints by lowering it to two posts per episode. We found that some of our episodes are really abstract. Like we did an episode about like making stress our friend. And it's like, I don't know what engaging image there is to evoke stress being our friend. And so what would have been much easier in that case would be to just pick something else, like maybe a Twitter post that we saw, an inspirational graphic that may be related to the theme but didn't even necessarily need to, that can fill in that gap and we can just move on with our lives and move on to the next episode. I'm curious, what are some ideas of systemic changes for you, Sophia, that have worked really well for our podcast?
I think it really helps to have a consistent place to document all your ideas. Spontaneity needs to be balanced with a little bit of consistency and structure. Otherwise, you're just going to be like really excited, but also chaotic. Like it would be so frustrating if our ideas were floating in all these different documents. It was nice to just have it in one place. So yeah, consistent documentation surprisingly has been a really important part of our process. It sounds so simple, but it's so important. And if you had the chaos of documenting ideas in different places, that just adds friction to reviewing your ideas, and then you develop this negative feeling or anxiety about the task of brainstorming. And that can just really kill the creative process, especially at the beginning when you haven't developed your love for the creative process yet.
Another tip that I would have in terms of if someone were to ask me about how you post consistently, I think finding a source of accountability is really, really, really helpful. I mean, imagine the classroom setting where you have a teacher who's checking on your homework and expects you to turn in your homework on time. You are going to turn in your homework on time. And you know the consequences of not turning in your homework. For us, it was being co-hosts and co-producers. Like, it really helped to have someone else who was just as much in this project, in this creation process as I was, and could really understand that context behind the podcasting space and really encourage me and not let me off the hook if I am, you know, struggling in some ways. And as a result, we've been able to be really adaptable. Like, there are times when, like, Sophia, like, you may be busy with some things, and so maybe that requires me to kind of step up and take on a little bit more. And I'm so super happy to do that because I know that you would do the same for me. And I think that definitely is a behind the scenes of, like, we're not constantly working every single week necessarily, because we have been able to allow one another to take some breathing space and get a little bit of a break as well. And that's really helpful too. And also, it doesn't have to be a co-creator, but it could be an accountability partner who is also trying to create consistently. And so just set up a recurring time on your calendars to check up on each other, check up on the progress, and just don't be afraid to make the request for them to check in on you. And more likely than not, they won't give you a hard time unless you ask them directly to give you a hard time. And I think just knowing that other people are in it as well can be really encouraging and motivating too.
Now I wanted to speak more about podcasting and why this medium has worked so well for us. One way to reflect on that is, what medium lets you spend time on the things that you actually enjoy doing? For example, podcasting works really well for me because I don't need to think about how I look, and I wouldn't enjoy having to put on makeup or arrange my room before I filmed every time. I just get to sit down and have a conversation. Doesn't matter how I look, doesn't matter how my background looks. And the bulk of the effort and time spent on podcasting is on the task that I love doing, which is talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people realize when they start podcasting that talking on and on for an hour is really hard. It's really hard to come up with, you know, seamless transitions, to come up with enough questions to continue the momentum of the conversation and not have awkward silences, especially remotely. And I think that's something that seems very easy to people at first, but it's something that we already had a little bit of enjoyment and a knack for doing, and we've been excited to keep improving on that. It's not something that's felt burdensome in any way for us, whereas for some people that might be burdensome and they'd prefer to spend their time on the visuals and the aesthetics. So
yeah, try to think about what aspects of creation you enjoy and picking the medium that lets you maximize your time on the aspect of creation that you like the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of medium and figuring out which medium you are going to enjoy the most, I think really understanding the landscape of the medium is also important. So what I mean by that is, what are the conventional success metrics, and also what are your goals with creating consistently? With podcasting alongside many other creative outlets, it does not really have an immediate return on investment. Like, if you're expecting a lot of followers, I'm sorry, it's going to be really hard. And so you have to be fueled by something else, whether that is being really excited to cop on the call with your co-host to have a really interesting discussion, being excited about that once in a blue moon comment and reaction on an episode of someone saying that they really related to what you talked about. I think it's those things that should really drive the momentum, because I think that's where a lot of people find their pitfalls in creating consistently, is that they're waiting for, like, their numbers and their followings to really jump up and skyrocket, because they kind of see creating as, like, this very flashy, numbers-driven occupation, which it totally can be. But I think if we're talking specifically about creating the habit of creating consistently, I don't think that the benchmarks are as reliable of a way to motivate you.
Definitely not. The benefit of podcasting is that your numbers and your following is hidden, which is really helpful as a creator, especially when you're starting out. Like, if I go to someone's TikTok, I can see how many followers they have, how many likes they have. But for a podcast, you can follow our Instagram, but that has very little correlation with our downloads. And it's really safe and comforting as a beginner to know that no one can go to your Spotify profile and judge you when you're just starting out. Mm-hmm.
That also requires a level of self-awareness of like, what things do you find yourself falling into? Like, are you the type of person to end up caring about those numbers? And I would speak for myself. I think I definitely would care about the numbers, but I think knowing that there is that anonymity in a way of the numbers and just for us to kind of keep track of our progress in our personal private way, I think that's a lot more motivating than being externally worried about what other people are thinking of like, oh my God, my following is dropping in some way. And so, you know, but some people don't care about that. And so that might not be an issue at all, but maybe they are motivated and worried about like parents finding out about their content. And so just like finding ways to find that sweet spot of the medium that you choose and find the ways to make you feel most psychologically safe and like you have the space to change and evolve is the biggest advice that, and I think kind of like the thesis throughout this whole episode when it comes to posting consistently, being able to put a vote to yourself as a creator that you may have always wanted to be, but maybe didn't have the confidence to do in the past. My last tip would be just re-emphasizing your motivation. So find your why behind the decision to create consistently. And my tip within this tip is that it probably shouldn't have to do with virality or popularity. Just think about what things light you up, what your goal is. I know that for some people, if they've always wanted to try to create consistently, maybe it's just a vote of confidence in themselves to be able to achieve this goal of being able to stick to a schedule and being able to stick to a habit. And that is more than enough for someone to feel really motivated if that is where you are finding a lot of passion for. It could also be just for the topic at hand. And maybe for the topic at hand, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to create 200 episodes, but maybe it's finding really unique niches and underrepresented perspectives for that topic you want to talk about. Just really finding where your curiosity lies and where you find the most momentum and being aware of that is going to just be the game changer for your podcasting, your content creation journey overall. I wanted to end the episode with a couple of other episodes we could recommend if you've enjoyed this episode. If you are still curious about learning more ways to be consistent, we've talked about this episode so many times, it's just too good of an episode to not recommend, but it's episode 146, Don't We Create? Overcoming Your Inner Critic, featuring Erica Berry. She wrote a whole book about not waiting to create and just taking the jump and the leap to make those creations that you've always wanted to see for yourself.
Yeah, my next recommendation is episode 118, Asian American Podcast, Duties and Responsibilities. This was such a memorable reflection of figuring out what topics we wanted to talk about and also figuring out our place in the world of Asian American podcasters. So this one includes a lot of reflections on our purpose and motivation.
Yeah, that episode is such a great one because I do think it kind of delineates a turning point in our podcasting journey too, and just really shows a point of evolution that we were kind of going through in the moment. And I think it's really cool to kind of see and reflect on that. And alongside that, we have episode 76, Celebrating 10K, featuring Erica Berry and Susan Cho. This was when we got to share with you all that we hit 10,000 plays, 10,000 downloads on our podcast. And we had Erica and Susan join us to just ask us some fun questions about our partnership, about podcasting in general, and the guests that we've gotten to have. And I think this is another sort of diary entry for us to get to reflect on the accomplishments and just the journey that we've been able to go on. And so if you want to hear an earlier journal entry of our journey, this is a really great one to check out if you want to get to know us a little bit more.
Well, thank you for being here and celebrating our 200th episode with us. If you enjoyed this episode and can think of a friend who wants to create and would appreciate these ideas, send it to them and let them know that Bamboo and Glass is on every podcasting platform. If this is your first time tuning into us and you want to get to know us more, we just shared 3 episodes that you can check out, and they are all linked in our episode description below. Special shout out to the folks who have been with us since our early days in 2019. Shout out to the folks who've seen this journey from the beginning. We remember every message, every comment that we get on Instagram. So if you're one of those people, thank you for being you. And with that, thank you for tuning in. We share new episodes every Sunday, so you can look forward to our next conversation next Sunday. Bye.